Hello, Grace. Welcome to another of our weekly encouragements as we enter the month of April, week three of a new normal. And I hope you're able to read through the message we sent out today. And let me just mention two things before the encouragement. First, hope you're able to join us today on these Wednesdays that we've dedicated to prayer. And there's a link to the guided prayer in the written message. So I encourage you to click on that and pray with us today. And then second, I'd also encourage you to read through those ideas about loving our neighbors. You know, I think people are open to conversations right now that they're not normally open to. And so it's a great opportunity, a good time to be praying for our neighbors, loving them and engaging them and just asking them good questions. So I encourage you to think about that as well. All right, so however this week finds you, we have this opportunity to fix our eyes on Jesus again. And we're doing that by looking at one of Jesus' I am sayings in the Gospel of John. And today, we're looking at the saying that, in my opinion, is really behind all the other sayings. It's John 8:58, where Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am." And I think that I am here in this passage is the I am that echoes through all the other I am statements. So a little background, Jesus makes this statement in a moment of very fierce debate with the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem, again, during the Feast of Tabernacles. And these are words that literally got him killed. I mean, the people's immediate response after he said this was to pick up stones and seek to stone him. And of course, he escaped then, but it's words like this that put him on a cross. And what he's doing here is he is identifying himself with the personal name of the living God, the God who appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the Old Testament. And this personal name of God, I am, it was made most famous when God encountered Moses at the burning bush. And Moses saw this bush, and this voice spoke from a bush that said, "Moses, I'm sending you to Pharaoh back to Egypt to rescue my people from the land of slavery." And the fearful and timid Moses said, "Okay, but if they ask what God sent you, what should I say? Meaning, you know, what's your name? What label or what title should I give you?" And God responds from the fire with these words, "I am who I am. Tell them I am sent you." Which, you know, what kind of a name is that? It's kind of an anti-name. It's kind of an anti-label as far as I'm concerned. It's a name that defies labels and categories. It's coming from a God who says, "You know, I am who I am. I'll be whatever I want to be. And you can't put a box around that. You can't fit that into a nice category or put a label on that. I'm the living, all-powerful God of the universe, maker of heaven and earth." And so what it is this profound declaration of God's freedom and sovereignty over all things. So, you know, you can imagine hearing that I am on the lips of a lower middle class Jewish carpenter from Nazareth. I mean, imagine that, him identifying himself with the living God of the universe. It's a staggering claim that the great I am, the eternal one, has taken on flesh in this particular man, Jesus of Nazareth. And you can see why they had a problem with that. But what's interesting, what I want to share today is, if you trace the use of God's name through the Old Testament, there are specific times when God tends to mention his name most, when he'll say things like, "I am," or "I am he, and beside me there is no other." And most often, he does this in contexts where the world is being turned upside down, and God is up to something in the world that is surprising and unexpected. So whether he's rescuing slaves out of Egypt, which is the most powerful nation in the world at that time, or later when he's actually bringing in an evil foreign nation as a tool of discipline for his people, or a later time when he is again rescuing Israel out of exile in Babylon. Whatever it is, it's this surprising and unexpected turn of events. And in the midst of that, he's reminding his people, "I am he. I am who I am. I am what I want to be. I am the God of the unexpected. And I will do unexpected and surprising things that leave you marveling, that leave you saying, 'Wow, you alone are God.' Besides you, there is no other. Truly, your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Your ways are higher than our ways. And we can certainly say that regarding what God was up to in Jesus, right? I mean, who would have thought that the great I am would take on flesh, would take on the limitations of a single human life, and then actually take on suffering and death on a cross? I mean, that was this utterly unexpected turn of events. And I mention all of that because here we find ourselves in this very challenging time, also these unexpected and surprising turns of events taking place. And on the one hand, so much of this is totally unexplainable. Like, I don't think we should be going around seeking simple answers for why this is taking place. I think this is just part of what it means to live in a fallen world. The creation is groaning. We're groaning. We're experiencing loss and disappointment and fear. And there are no easy answers to any of this. And yet, I think we can say, without having simple answers, that we can trust during these unexpected times in a God who is the great I am. Meaning a God who is always at work, especially in the unexpected and the surprising. Or to put it another way, a God who is never not up to something redemptive. And many of us have probably already experienced some of the surprising fruit of this unexpected time. Some of us are experiencing a deeper dependence on God, or a more pure and simple devotion to Jesus, or seeing God's people love each other in unexpected ways. The great I am is always at work, and often in ways that leave us caught off guard, saying, wow, well, truly your ways are higher than my ways. I mean, who would have thought, Lord, but you are the great I am. And the greatest news of all in this is that these words, I am who I am, are taken up on the lips of Jesus. And what that means is that in Jesus, we have a God who's not just up there somewhere far, far off, you know, pulling the strings, deciding the fates of human lives, but we've got a God who actually enters into the brokenness himself and becomes vulnerable. I mean, surprisingly, shockingly vulnerable, who, the scriptures say, takes on our infirmities and carries our diseases at the cross. And that is the great news, that Jesus is the I am who is also Emmanuel, God with us. And so he is with us through all of this as a faithful friend and companion. So rest assured that your companion through this time is none other than the great I am himself. And let me leave you with the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Amen. Be well.